We're going to continue our talks on the book of James. So if you have your Bibles, turn please to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll be reading 1 through 12. I know it's a long passage, but we'll get through it here. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Here's what it says. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our God and our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know, all across America, we are trying to get into shape. Over the years, I've lost probably about 700 pounds, give or take 100. Many of you know this man here. Many of you grew up with him. Richard Simmons. He took America and made them want to get into shape. You know, anymore nowadays, there is Planet Fitness. There's all these things to help us get into physical shape. Run on the treadmill. Sarah and I, we go to the track. There's a track right by our house, and we get to walk around the track. It's wonderful. I love it, except I hate the workouts. You know, it's nice to be there, but it does take work. You know, we want to work. We want to get stronger and better looking and, you know, get that flab off of our bellies and stuff like that. But the problem is there's something in our bodies that we don't really work on. It needs work too. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be controlled. You know, I marvel at some of these athletes that we see on TV. They're so big and strong, but yet their body control is remarkable. They're physically fit. But today we're going to talk about our tongues being physically fit. Since this is a physical fitness of our soul, then you might say, wait a second, what do you mean your tongue is kind of a physical fitness of your soul? Let me help all of us understand this. This has been a great study for me too, because out of our hearts, out of our beings, comes the words out of our mouth. I'll give you a couple of examples. Many, many years ago, I was in ninth grade. I did not cuss. I did not swear. I was a very, very good, probably too good. I was a goody two-shoes. I never spoke bad words, nothing. But I was reading this book that was a mandatory book. And in this book, there were lots and lots and lots of cuss words. And so I'm reading this book, and I'm reading this book, and it's an okay book. And as I keep reading, those words start to flow into my mind and into who I am. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm talking to a friend. And as I'm talking to that friend, all of a sudden, out of the blue, one of those words slips right out of my mouth. I was as shocked as my friend was. I was just stuttering. I had no idea. I cussed at church right in front of my Christian friend. His jaw dropped, my jaw dropped. We were dumbfounded. But where did that come from? It came from our soul. The tongue is an extension of you. It's kind of like, this is kind of funny, it's a tattletale. Look at this little monkey, okay? I have been all over the world and I've seen these stupid little monkeys. They take stuff right out of your pockets and they make fun of you. It's really kind of funny to see these little itty bitty monkeys. But they're telling, this soul, the mouth tells what's in the soul. So if I have junk and garbage that I'm always sharing with you, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, you don't want to know about this. And I start talking. That's what's in me. And that's why James is so serious about the trouble of the tongue. It makes sin easy. If I want to steal something, I probably have to go over somewhere and take it. It takes a little bit of work. But with the tongue, sin, pun intended, is right at the tip of my tongue. So James is strong about this. He actually mentions the tongue in every single chapter of his book. The tongue can only produce what the heart sends out. So today I want to give you three reasons for controlling the tongue. Three reasons for controlling the tongue. Number one reason, the tongue has potential to condemn. The tongue has potential to condemn. That's in your notes. Let's go to verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says, James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. James is not saying, oh, don't teach. Don't volunteer for teaching. That's not good. That's not what James is saying. James is actually saying, hey, if you're a teacher, you better be ready. You're now bumped up in responsibility. James is trying to help people understand the seriousness of teaching. Imagine the damage that would take place in a church when a Sunday school teacher starts teaching something that is contrary to what the Bible says. That would be really bad. Imagine if I stood up here and I preached and I told all of you that this is what God wants and it wasn't in the Bible. Do you know that there are plenty of churches like that that speak contrary to God's teachings? In fact, they do more damage than 100 atheists. At least with atheists, we're ready to defend. We're ready to fight. We're ready to say that's not what God says. But with a Christian Sunday school teacher or a pastor that says, I'm preaching for the word, this is what it says, and it's not really what it says, there is so much damage, it's condemning. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I might have told you a little bit about this. I was in an organization that was kind of church, but it was also community. And so we all got together, and we all were from all these different churches. And then they started to talk. And the first woman said, I know that we can't agree on all of the texts of what you would say is the Bible. So I will quote something that we all can agree on. And she quoted Kermit the Frog. I'm not joking. That is not a joke. I sat there in absolute disbelief. And then when she prayed, oh, great celestial being from above, we don't really know your name, but we pray for wisdom from you. I was floored. This was a pastor. And all of the people around the table, there were 30 of them in the Bangor area. They all were pastors. And myself and maybe just a few more were real true believers in not the great celestial being from above, but in the God that made all of creation. And I thought to myself, I left that meeting saying, oh, God, please help those congregations of all of those pastors. My dear friend, he went on a mission trip. And when he came back, he read Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And he said from the pulpit, all of the poor people are going to heaven. All of the poor people will inherit the kingdom of heaven. What? But it sounds so good. It sounds like it comes from the Bible. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, Sunday school teacher, what you say. Oh, be careful, preacher, what you say. Because you're leading those people to condemnation if you're not careful. In the same way, a little slip of the tongue could be unbelievable damage. I know a man. He is a very good man. Loves the Lord with all of his heart. Loves people, kind, gentle. He was a youth pastor many years ago. After church, he went and he was talking with this young lady that was a part of his youth group in the sanctuary, right in the middle of the pews. Plenty of people could see whatever. But after their conversation, the young lady said that this youth guy touched her in an inappropriate way. The man was fired. He struggled for years to find any kind of a job. He wanted to be a pastor, but no church would have a guy like that. Come to find out years later that the girl said that she was lying. I don't know why she did it. She didn't know why she did it. But she ruined that man's life. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Another woman, she loved to speak to others. She was an evangelist. She wanted to preach and tell people about Jesus Christ. She wasn't a preacher, but she liked to tell people. But the problem was, she was so abrasive. She was so demanding and hateful, actually, that she talked to someone that is close to Sarah and I, and that one person literally could have went to church the next week, but after talking to that woman, turned her back and said, I will never, ever step foot in church, and I will never believe in that God. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. We have no idea how powerful our tongues are. We have no idea how powerful even one word can do to anybody. The tongue is a potential condemnation. Here's number two. The tongue has the power, it's in your notes, the power to control. The power to control. Go in your Bibles to verse 2, the second part of that, and we'll go all the way to 5. Here's what it says. Anyone who is never at fault in what they have said is perfect, able to, here it is, keep your whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and they're driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, listen, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. We put bits into horses' mouths and we can control them. I've actually had a horse, poor horse, having me have to ride that thing. Whew. But as I'm riding the horse, I mean, many of you know, you've had animals and things like that. You put that bit in that horse's mouth and you pull it and it turns. It turns a whole animal. A ship is the same thing. Anybody here ever been on a cruise? Those rudders, I mean, they are large, but comparatively to the whole big ship, they're very, very, very tiny and small. That's in your notes. A bit for the horse and mouth and the tiny rudder. But I want you to think about the comparison. Our tongues are one of the smallest parts of our body, but yet it does so much damage. It's so horrible sometimes. You know what's really sad? Is we just praised the Lord and we just sang wonderful songs, worship songs to the God Almighty. But yet the problem is, in just a few minutes we're going to leave, and many of us will speak out of that same mouth, with that same little tongue, cursing others, hurting them, speaking ill about people, gossiping. It's sad. If a person is perfect, this is what this verse says. If a person is perfect in what they say, that's in your notes, then they have evidence of a purified and mature heart, which is the source of what comes out. What he's saying there is this. Again, if I have garbage in here, garbage comes out. If I have good and love and care and grace, that also comes out. Whatever is in my heart comes out from my mouth. So, oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. If you can control your tongue, you can control everything else. A lady came to the pastor, and she was convicted that she had a gossip problem. And so she said, Pastor, I think I need to confess my sin. I think I need to come to the altar and lay my tongue at the altar. And the pastor looked at her and said, because she had said this many times before, I don't think the altar's big enough. Sadly, that's true. You know, there are many of us, and it's really difficult. Believe me, I'm not pointing fingers because I know there are times I try my best, but my mouth gets the best of me. There are times when I say mean things. There are times when I say things I should shut my mouth. It's very easy to do. As the Bible says, animals can be tame, but our tongues, boy, that's a really tall ask. Listen to what Psalms 39, verse 1 says. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. I have two friends in my life that are habitual liars. Every single day they lie. One, I was the roommate of this guy. He lied about everything, even things that didn't matter. It was just a lie. It was a habit. He lied all the time. Years later, someone came to me from another church in Pennsylvania. And they said, do you know this guy? And I said, yeah, I do. He was my roommate. And he began to say, you know, everything that came out of his mouth, we couldn't trust. And he didn't get the job at that church. He was just an interim for a little while. He didn't get the job. Why? Because everything he said, they couldn't trust. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Whatever comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. This is in your notes. Their lying tongues control them and affects every single relationship. Imagine that. Go back to my friend. Everything that he tried to do, he was a youth pastor. In fact, he was so terrible that his youth pastor, when he got married, told his new wife, whatever you do, if you don't believe what he's saying, look him straight in the eye and ask him, because he's a liar. His youth pastor said that. Everyone knew. It affected every relationship that he had. He didn't have control over it, and it affected everything. Imagine being his wife. Is he telling me the truth? Is he lying or is he telling me the truth? Number three, the tongue has the propensity to corrupt. The tongue has the propensity to corrupt. Go to verses 6-8. Here's what it says. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Listen, it corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures can be tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. David was never very far away from corruption. He was anointed to be the new king, and there was such a corrupt king before him, Saul, that he had to run all over the country to keep his life. Saul chased him down, the Bible says, like a dog. But then Saul would say, "Oh, is that you, my son? Oh, David, I love you." David had corruption all over. His own son took him away from the throne. But listen to what Psalms 52, verse 2 through 4 says. "You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction." He would know about this. "It is like sharpened razor." That's in your notes. "You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue." He's talking about all the experiences that he's had, all the turmoil of people that are corrupt and their lying tongues. Solomon, his son, wrote Proverbs. This is what Solomon said. "A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are as," here it is, ready? It's in your notes, "scorching fire." Job had all of those terrible things happen to him. Bildad was supposed to be comforting Job. And this is what Job said about him. "How long will you torment me and crush me with your," this is in your notes, "words?" Paul constantly struggled with people lying about him and about what Paul was saying. Everywhere he went, there were people that were against Paul. Why? Because he was trying to speak the truth, and people, evil people, were speaking bad things about him. It was coming out of their hearts and through their tongues. It's a corrupt thing. Our world is corrupt by what we say. Nowadays, in fact, it's starting to come. Here we go. There's going to be so much mudslinging and all of these things with all of the politicians. I don't know if we can trust any of them, really, because all of them are subject to lying. Jesus was falsely accused. He was put to death. That's why James says this. You ready? "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire." James says this also. "This should not be." Can fresh water be in a saltwater pond? Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? No. Listen, people, we just sang glorious songs to God Almighty, the God that created us. And out of that same mouth, what are you speaking? A hateful heart cannot produce loving words. I want to say that again. A hateful heart cannot produce loving words. All the last month, we've been talking about James, and James is saying, look, if you really truly are saved, if you have put your faith and your trust in Christ, if he has given you grace and you've accepted it, they will know by your deeds. That's what we talked about last week. But listen, they will also know by the words you say. Because if that Christ that came into your soul is in your soul, that's what's going to come out also. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Let me ask you a question. Do you struggle with this? The things you say? Do you struggle with it? I think if we're honest, we all struggle. Some of us might not gossip, but some of us might lie. Some of us might not lie, but we gossip. Some of us might just be mean and nasty. You know what's really sad? Most of the time, the most mean and nasty people are Christians. There are some just rude Christians. Sarah and I went to a church years ago. Our very first Sunday, we were the new youth pastor and his wife. Austin was just a little kid. In fact, he was still in a carrier. And we pull into the parking lot, and there is a parking attendant. And he's waving people on. Yeah, park right here. Yeah, park right here. Oh, yeah, okay, park right here. Yeah. We drove right by that guy, and he told us to park here, but we didn't want to walk with our son 400 yards. So I see a spot that's pretty close to, you know, the wall of the church, and so we go towards it. Well, he literally starts yelling, "I know who you are! You think you're better than everybody!" And he's moving towards us confrontationally. And Sarah's like, go quick. Hurry up, run. The crazy man's there. The man was so bitter and angry. I really, truly wonder, and I'm not judging. Please understand. I don't know what God and him have went through. I don't know. But it does make you wonder, is the love of God in that man? Again, I'm not judging. That's between him and God. But I have to ask that question. And that's the question that James is asking. It can't be, he says. Can an apple tree produce grapes? No, that can't happen. It cannot happen. Can a saved person spew evil out of their mouth? The answer is no. It can't happen. That's what James is saying. Oh, be careful, little mouth. Little kids, I'm talking to you. Because we have a tendency to lie. We hate being in trouble with mom and dad. No, I didn't do it. Nope, wasn't me. We lie. Adults, we were those little kids long ago. And some of us have never gotten out of that habit of lying. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Just a little while ago, there was a little girl that committed suicide. 4,400 students, high school students, every single year commit suicide. Part of the reason why they commit suicide, in the majority of the reasons, is by bullying. People saying mean things to that kid. Oh, you're fat. You're so fat. You're terrible. You're fat. Believe me, I heard that many times. The very first day of my older brother's kindergarten year, he got on the bus. When he came home, he ran off the bus crying. And he said, the kids on the bus kept saying, "Fatty, fatty, 2x4, can't fit through the bus door." And as the wonderful brother that I am, mom gave Tim pudding. That really helped the situation. But the wonderful brother, I wanted to be an encouragement to him. And I said, "Well, Tim, you are fat." Oh, be careful, little mouths, what we say. This little girl, 7% of all high school students, 7%, so 7 out of 100 students have tried to commit suicide. Wow. 7 out of 100 have tried. So in your school, I don't know how many is in your school, 300. That means 21 kids of the 300 have attempted suicide. Why is that? Because Christians like us don't speak kind words, we speak evil words. And I know it's not just us. I know that they live in a world that has fallen. But let me tell you the little story about this little girl. She was only 13 years old. 13, that's it. Her note to her mom and dad said this. All of the kids this morning, Sarah stayed home while her family was out and logged onto her MySpace page. The last message that she read said this to her, that she was just stupid and a little naive girl and nobody would miss her. When her parents returned to the house, they found that Sarah had hanged herself. She left a suicide note that said she couldn't handle what others were saying about her. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Go to that next slide, if you would, please. Words can hurt. They can hurt all of us, or words can heal also. I pray that all of us choose to have words of kindness. This world is already so hurtful and mean and evil. Can we be a light to the other people around us? I'll tell you what, a positive person, many people want to come to that person because it's so refreshing to have a positive spin on things. So be that positive person. Go to that last slide. I hope. Is there one more? There it is. Again, we want to praise the Lord, but we can't praise the Lord and then curse the Lord's creation in one next breath. So I pray today that we would praise the Lord, and as we leave, we would continue to praise the Lord by uplifting people and encouraging them. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for creating us, Lord. Your creation is beautiful, wonderful, amazing. But Lord, as we sing your praises, I pray that the very next breath would not be cursing your creation. We love you. God, thank you so much for saving us. Lord, I pray today you'd open our eyes and let us see this world that hurts, and let us be a bright light that shines for you to them in this dark world. We love you, God. In your precious name, amen.